Wife said, I am Warren Nakamura, and I am a member here at this church. You know, Pastor Jake always mentions these things before he starts. You know, it's like we don't plan things. We don't coordinate with the worship team or who's giving the abundance message or who's doing the main message. We just believe that everything's going to come together because we hear the Holy Ghost and we listen to the Spirit. And we live in the same house, Michelle and I, because we're married. But we made sure that when we were working on what we're going to say today, that we didn't talk about it. We didn't look at each other's notes. And what she talked about today is spot on because it's what I am exactly going to be speaking on too. So I'm glad that she did it that way, because if it was different from my message, I know she didn't hear from God. Well, as Pastor Jake mentioned last week, I am a speech language pathologist. And he kind of put a lot of pressure on me because he said, you know, I'm going to be speaking properly and with the correct diction and articulation. But just because you're a speech language pathologist doesn't mean that you're a great speaker. All it means is that I listen to you speak and I tell you if you're saying it correctly or not. So Pastor Jake put the bar way up here. I just put it way back down here for y'all. Well, before I start, I just want to share a little bit about myself, share a little bit about my family. If you don't know who we are, again, you met my wife, Michelle. And here on the screen, we have my two children. Aren't they cute? I have a daughter. She's the oldest. Her name is Taylor. We call her TJ. My son, his name is Jonah. Pastor Jake gave me a new nickname for him. We call him Fish Food. You know, Jonah and the big fish. But that photo was about 13 or 14 years ago. I put it there because they're cute. They're not cute anymore. This is the kind of current photo of them. Not cute anymore, but I can say my son is now a handsome young man, and my daughter is a beautiful young woman. This is a family picture of us, or of my family in New Zealand. So actually, both pictures were taken in New Zealand. So to all our friends and family out there, kia ora. That was a greeting. Sorry, I'm not going to do the traditional, like, face plant and touch your nose and foreheads together. Kind of looks odd doing that on the TV. You know, on our trip to New Zealand, just a funny story. One of our stops was going to be to the movie set of The Hobbit. And so I never saw the movie The Lord of the Rings before. So, you know, we were like just watching all the movies on the airplane. And those are long movies. And there were a lot of them. And it was kind of like the time where I was kind of like starting to grow out my hair. And then one of the characters in that movie is called Legolas, you know, the elf. They all had the long hair and they shot the arrows. So I turned to my daughter. I don't even know if she remembers saying this. I turned to my daughter and said, "Ooh, I'm going to look like that. I'm going to grow my hair out and look like that." She turns to me and says, "Dad, first of all, you got to be blonde. Second, you need to be tall. Third, you need to be handsome." So I'm like, "Well, yeah, well, I'm not going to be blonde. I'm not tall. Hey, but one out of three, that's not too bad, huh?" See, I was nauseatingly hopeful even before I heard Pastor Jake's message last week. Well, today, the title for today's message is called From Tradition to the Truth. It's kind of like in line with what Michelle was talking about the law. You know, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it defines tradition as this. It had four different definitions. I just chose the first one because it fits. It's an inherited, established, or customary pattern of thought, action, or behavior, such as a religious practice or a social custom. You know, we all have traditions. We all have inherited a pattern of thought based on our family history. We all have established behaviors based on what we have been taught, whether at home, at school, through the media. You know, growing up with the Japanese tradition, you know, for New Year's, we always put out a kodomatsu. And what there was is, it was just like a two, like bamboo put together and wrapped around with like pine leaves. And you place that at the entrance of your house. And that would signify like good luck for the year. We'd also make mochi. If you don't know what that is, it's like, it's rice, and you like pound it together with it with water, and it makes a sticky treat to eat. And so we make mochi. Sometimes you put two of the mochi cakes together, one on top of each other, and you put a tangerine on top. And that was like a symbol of bringing good luck and fortune and hope and prosperity for that year. You know, we also celebrated things like Girls' Day. You know, we bring out, I remember having all these dolls for my sister, and my dad had an elaborate, he made steps and put a red carpet on it, and he put all the dolls all on top of it, looking like it was a temple. And then in Boys' Day, we'd hang fish, you know, of different colors outside of your home, signifying, you know, all the children, the boys that you had. We even celebrate national holidays. You know, last week we celebrated 4th of July, Independence Day here in America. A lot of us, when we get married, we start new traditions. We start making Christmas cards to pass out every year. New traditions and customs, they always come about. They emerge from time to time. You know, we're at a family gathering, and my son works at Popeyes, and my niece, she works at Starbucks, so they're sharing, you know, stories about work and stories about the drive-through, and then the topic of passing it forward or paying it forward came up. If you don't know what that means, I didn't know what it was, but it's, you know, you pay for the person's drink behind you, and what they want to see is how long is that chain going to continue until it's broken. And so, you know, my niece said, oh, the longest that ever was when she was working at the drive-thru was, you know, six cars. So I said, oh, that happened to me once. I went to Starbucks, and then I got my drink from the barista, and she goes, oh, by the way, the car in front of you paid for it already. So they asked me, so did you pay it forward? I said, no. I went, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessing. Bless that driver that was in front of me. And I was like, oh, God, you are so good. And they're like, Dad, you're supposed to be paying it forward. But I still don't even understand that, because paying it forward, see, I'm a linear thinker. So paying it forward means, how am I supposed to pay for the car that was in front of me? I'm supposed to pay for the car in back of you. That doesn't make sense at all. You know, there are many traditions and customs that are great, and there are some that, you know, just should be ended. You know, at our house, we have a tradition of leaving all the dishes in the sink, so the head of the household has to do it all. Well, I'm breaking that tradition right now in the name of Jesus. So you see, what you do today has a lot to do with what you were taught in the past. What traditions, what pattern of thought, what patterns of action, what patterns of behavior do you have? You know, just think about that. In your note, it says, you know, God did establish traditions. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received from us. So you see, traditions are important. Laws are important, as Michelle was saying. Even Jesus had a tradition or custom that he adhered to. It says in Luke 4:16, it says, and he, referring to Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, or as his customary pattern of behavior was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. See, throughout the Bible, there are a lot of traditions or customs going on, such as, you know, God said, you know, you have all these feasts to go to, all these festivals to go to. He said, build altars. And Jesus even told us to break bread together, to have communion together. But sometimes we take these customs and traditions and these behaviors and these teachings and take the commands of God and turn it into what the Bible says, a tradition of man. It means like doing things as a performance or a means of gaining attention to look more spiritual. You know, in this church, we pray a lot. In this church, we talk about returning the tithe. In this church, we've been having communion every Wednesday night at prayer. But did you know that just doing these things really doesn't buy you brownie points with God? I'm not saying that you don't do these things. They're important. But we need to do these things in faith. See, doing it out of a religious practice is not gaining you anything. God is not looking for what you do on the outside. He's looking for what's on the inside. He's looking at your heart. You can turn anything in the Bible into a tradition of man or into something that can transform your life. You can pray just to pray because that's what spiritual people do, or you can pray because you get results. You can preach the gospel because you want all eyes to be focused on you, or you can have the heart like our pastor. You preach the gospel because you love others and you want everyone to come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You can do what it is right, and you can look good as a Christian on the outside, but God wants you changed on the inside. So what is a tradition of man? Again, it's just doing the right thing, but with the wrong intentions, and that is not pleasing to God. See, doing the right thing as an excuse for not obeying other commands of God is not pleasing to him. One example is found in the book of Matthew. See, the Pharisees and religious rulers and leaders, they were all doing the right things according to the law, but they were all doing it with the wrong intentions. In Matthew 15, in your notes, verses 1 through 11, in the New King James Version, it says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." See, it was a ceremonial thing that they did, that they always washed their hands as a ceremonial practice. And then Jesus answered them and said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.'" In other words, I look holy because I'm giving to the church, but sorry, I cannot honor you and take care of you. That's what they were doing. He says, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you? Seeing these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." And in verse 18, he goes on to say, "But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a man." It's in Hebrews 4:12. It's not in your notes, but it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." See, God is looking at your thoughts, and he's looking at your intentions. He's not looking at your performance. Again, we do things in excellence. We do our best in whatever we do, but it's first done with the correct heart. Amen. See, are we doing things based out of the love and mercy, or are we doing it out of a legalistic agenda? So you can give all you want to your church, but if you're using that as a means and an excuse not to take care of your parents, not to honor them or to help someone in need, then you are following a tradition of man. Here Jesus is talking about honoring your parents. This world has kind of like lost its respect for elders. I mean, now we got to make laws to make stiffer penalties for crimes against the elderly. I mean, what is that? How can you do that? I mean, another example is, you know, when my dad passed away, we all knew, I grew up with a family of, I have an older sister and younger brother, so we all knew that the house was going to go to my brother. So when my dad passed away, you know, they said, "Oh, let's go down and we'll just transfer everything." My mom said, "Transfer everything into my brother's name already, so when she passes, there's no problems with the transfer of the house." And so, yeah, we're fine. And then my brother calls me up and my sister up and says, "Oh, we too have to go down to attorneys to sign some forms." I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine." And then lo and behold, I find one of the forms. She goes, "Oh, yeah, you have to sign this form too. Because it's saying that as long as my mom is alive, the kids will not kick her out of the house." And I was like, "What? Are you crazy? That thought never even entered into my mind. How can this world go so far?" In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Well, today I'm going to share my testimony of how I was brought up, the traditions that I learned, the wrong doctrines that I held on to, and how this church helped me to break free from what Jesus referred to as the tradition of men. See, growing up, I grew up in a family of five. You know, my mom, dad had an older sister. I was the middle child and my younger brother. My grandmother lived with us also. You know, it was like the Beaver Cleaver family. I don't know if you guys are, the older generation know what I'm talking about. Beaver Cleaver, you know, I mean, they had like just the perfect family. That's how our family was. We never fought. My brothers and sisters, we never fought. We got along well. We honored our parents and my grandmother. We grew up attending church. I thought that's the way that every family was. We all go to church on Sunday. But later on, my dad stopped coming, but I thought, well, we're all still good. Go to church. I grew up in middle school and high school. My parents sent all of us to HBA. Still remember, because my sister is 3 years older than I. So we're going to school at kind of at the same time. And my brother's 8 years younger than me. And so when he went to HBA, one of the teachers that taught my sister and I saw my brother. And she said, "Oh, I remember your sister and your brother. Oh, Donnie Ann, she was like in all the top things in all these clubs. And she was such a good student." "Oh, but I don't remember Warren for any of that." And I'm like, "What? You really said that?" But she did remember me because I had a nice personality. See, growing up, we had a roof over our head. We had everything to eat. We had clothes to wear. I mean, we didn't lack anything. Well, the only thing that I lacked was a BB gun and my mongoose bike. You know what a mongoose bike was? Back in the day, it's like a BMX racer type of bike. Only two things I never got from my parents. It was probably my fault because my friends had BB guns, you know, and then we go over to their house and we'd shoot cans and stuff. So my dad would ask, "Oh, why do you want a BB gun?" So I said, "Oh, I want to shoot birds." Like, wrong answer. Like, "Sorry, son, you ain't getting a BB gun." But I did have a regular bike, you know, and our house, the way it was built, it was a two-story house, but it was the basement was like below ground level. So to get to the basement area, you have to ride down the side of the house, a steep hill, and then turn in. And then we would leave our bikes in the basement. But then if you go straight into the door, the handlebars wouldn't fit. And so instead of, you know, thinking like just turn the handlebar like this and bring the bike in, I would always just drive straight up and hit the door, the doorway. And so my dad was smart. What he did was he got a hacksaw, cut off the handlebars, put on the wrist grips like this. So this is how I used to ride around the neighborhood. Talk about being stylish. And the hardest part was doing wheelies. And as you know, as you're pulling up the hand grips, they're slowly coming off the bar. Couple tumbles here and there. But I grew up in a Christian family. I was saved in the eighth grade. I gave my life to Christ in the eighth grade. Didn't know exactly what that meant, but I did. It was during school. It was awesome. It was this time called Religious Emphasis Week, and we had a lot of speakers come during our school time, and we go and we listen to them, and there's this one guy, a Vietnam vet, and he had this awesome testimony. I mean, he was in war. I mean, he stepped on all these traps, and he even showed us he had it. It was this long spike with a barb at the end, and he said he stepped on it and went straight through his foot. But man, the joy that that guy spoke with, he never had any regrets. He never had any ill feelings. It was always about God strengthened me. God was there. God pulled me through this. And when I heard that, I said, man, that's what I want. So in high school, you know, I really started reading the Bible a lot. I read mostly in the New Testament because I kind of didn't understand the Old Testament that much. And I kind of like just took bits and pieces of what I liked and put that into my life. The main thing that I learned was all you have to do is just be good. Just try to be a nice person. But that's really not what being a Christian is. In college, I wanted to learn more, so I took religion classes. Do not take religion classes in college. If you don't have a strong foundation, I'm being serious. Do not take religion courses in college. This is what I was taught. Some of the Old Testament is not really real. You know, those aren't real people back then. Those are just stories to illustrate, stories to tell you about nature and things like that. For example, the story about Samson. He wasn't really a man. It was a story to show you about the sun god. It was a story to show you that his long hair that showed like the sunbeams coming out of the sun. And when his hair was cut, that showed that the sun no longer shone. And that's how to describe how famines occurred. That's why famines happened. That's why things died. Messes me up. How can you believe the Bible now? It's like, well, how do you know what's true then? If some things are just stories, but some things are not, how do you know? How do you know what's right? I went through Bible studies. And the things that I was being taught was, you know, one of them is really stood out to me. It's like, you know, the scripture about wives need to submit to their husbands. Well, I was taught, well, that was because Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a short, bald, ugly guy. So that's why he told women that they need to submit to men. That's the kind of things that I heard. See, if you grew up in a church that preaches good doctrine, you would know that that was false. See, but I grew up in a church. I'm not bashing my church. I'm just saying that we didn't learn good doctrine. See, I grew up, I was reading the NIV Bible, the New International Version Bible. Somebody came to one of our Bible studies. They had the King James Version. We're like, oh, fanatic. What's up with this person? Oh, calm down. Gee, take it easy. Everything in the Bible, don't take it so literally, man. Jeez. That's the way I grew up. I later found out the NIV stands for non-inspired version. That's why. Well, after graduating college, I moved to Kauai. At that time, you know, Michelle and I were having a long-distance relationship. I grew up thinking it's not necessary to attend church. That's my tradition. My dad didn't go to church. He was good. So I didn't have to go to church if I didn't want to. My tradition was, hey, you stick to the denomination that you grew up in. So I went to a church that was part of the same denomination that I grew up in, up on Kauai. And it was an older church. You know, a majority of people there were elderly people, and they were wonderful people. But just down the street, there's a church. Sounded just like this church. Man, doing worship, you could hear it from down the road. I was like, man, that church sounds like fun. But because of tradition, no. You have to stay with your denomination. That's what I was thinking. But you know what? If you're not growing at your church, you may seriously think about finding another church. And I'm not saying that you need to go from church to church and hop around all over the place. You need to be planted in a church. You need to grow in a church. But if you're not growing, I would suggest don't stick to your tradition and find one that brings life. You see, I was brought up thinking life is just like a deck of cards, you know. God is like handing out cards, and the hand that you get, that's the hand that you get. You just got to suffer through that. But everything will be good once you get to heaven. Doesn't matter what life gives you. You just got to suck it up. I had good morals. I never drank. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I was a pretty nice guy. I was friendly to everyone. I respected people. And I thought that's all that God expected from me. But in 1992, September 11, 1992, Hurricane Iniki hit the island of Kauai. And after that day, I made that decision. I didn't want to die single. So in 1994, Michelle and I got married. Funny story. You can ask her about this. She had to pay for her own engagement ring. But this past June, we made 27 years of marriage. It has been the best 3 years of my life. Just kidding. But shortly after we were married, we had to move back to Oahu. We like to share that, you know, it was like living on eggshells. Michelle had more eggshells than I did. I thought it wasn't that bad, was it? But she goes, no, it was pretty bad, man. But the tradition of this world was inside of me. You see, divorce was always an option. It was a pattern of behavior that I thought was normal. It's okay because we live in this time now, so divorce is okay. So we had our ups and downs. We had our problems. But we thought, well, you know what? We're just living here. We're cooped up in her mom's house right now. There's so many things going on. Let's just get away, have a staycation, talk things out and everything. So we did that. Went to the Ala Moana Hotel, stayed there for a few nights, and things didn't get better. I just left. Michelle had to pack everything up and check out herself. I left. I just walked back home. Months went on. Things weren't always the greatest. We had good times, but it seems like the bad times were always worse, more than the good times. So finally, one night, just had it already. Packed my bags, and I left. I said, I'm done. This marriage is over. See, at that time in my life, the customs, the beliefs, the traditions of this world, the traditions of man influenced my behaviors and my thoughts. It was hard. But that's why after when we celebrated our 25th anniversary, I had Jewels of Polynesia make me this bracelet. And on this bracelet, there's three pearls. There's a big one in the middle that signifies Michelle. And there's two smaller ones around it. Signifies my two kids. And this is just a reminder for me. Of how God can transform your life and transform your thoughts and to make everything work out for good. You see, if I had quit, if I didn't give it another chance, I wouldn't have the opportunity to raise two awesome kids. I probably wouldn't even be here in this church. But praise God for his word. Since July 2005, we came to the Ark. Actually, my wife came to the Ark. I didn't want to come. She came because there was a huge transformation in her sister. There was a huge transformation that took place in her nephew. And she wanted that. See, if you're not at a church that you're not changing and growing, find one that'll help you grow. It was a slow transformation for me when I started coming. In your notes, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, in your notes, it also has this term called cognitive dissonance. I first heard it from Bob Harrison at an Increase conference. And the definition that he gave was this. It says, ideas, dreams, and actions that are contrary to a person's belief system will not be believed and will not be acted upon. See, ideas, dreams, and actions that are contrary to a person's belief system will not be believed and will not be acted upon. You have to examine your core belief system. Change it if it's not right. I needed to change and examine my core beliefs. I needed to examine my traditional ways of thinking. I needed to change all the things I learned in the past and make a decision to follow what Scripture says. You see, you go about changing your core belief system by this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, you need to let the Word of God change your thinking. You know, when we first started coming, I had so many questions. Pastor Stewart and Pastor Mari, Pastor Mike and Pastor Debbie, they were instrumental in guiding us, or in guiding me, I should say. See, Michelle didn't really have a church background, so it was easy for her to pick things up. But because of my old way of thinking, it was hard for me to grasp the things that the Bible were actually saying. I remember meeting in Starbucks. Actually, that was the first time I've ever been in Starbucks because I never used to drink coffee before. But here at the Ark Christian Church, we like to meet in Starbucks. So I started drinking coffee. So thank you, Ark Christian Church. Now I have another addiction that I need to break free from. Just kidding. Pastor Jake likes people who drink coffee. BFF. Oh no, my BFF is here. McKenna. And he doesn't even drink coffee. So whatever questions I had, they would just open up the Bible and they would just read the Scripture. And then he would ask, "Is that clear?" Speaking in tongues. I thought that was for cults, literally. I thought only cult, if you're in a cult, you spoke in tongues. That's what I was taught. Healing is for today? What? No ways. That's all in the past. That was just during Jesus' time. Holy Spirit is real? What? I didn't understand that. You have the power of God inside of you? You mean you lay hands on the sick and you can see them recover? I don't know. That didn't make sense to me. You have the ability to change the situation? You mean you don't have to just suffer through things and hope for the best? You don't have to wait to get to heaven for everything to be great? Whoa, those are things that was just in conflict with my core belief system. Those are some of the things and the traditions that I grew up believing. Those were the traditions and teachings of men that were keeping the Word of God from having no effect in my life. But you know, after a while, I don't know if Pastor Stewart knows this, but after a while, I would just ask him a question, and he would say, "Did you look it up? What did the Bible say? What did God reveal to you?" And I would say, "Oh, no, I didn't look it up." I said, "Well, then go look it up. And then come back to me if you have questions." I don't even ask him questions anymore. I rarely bother him. But as we continue to attend this church, slowly, my mind was being transformed. But with that transformation, arose a lot and a lot of struggles for me. You see, the teachings and ideas and behaviors that I grew up with, it didn't conform to what the Bible was saying. But I needed to change to conform my thinking to the way that the Bible, to the way the scripture was saying. And I know sometimes it was kind of tough on my kids, because before homeschooling, they came to the elementary school that I worked at. And after attending this church, my wife and I made a decision that there were a lot of activities that we didn't want them to participate in. See, at school, they always had the Halloween or fall parade on October 31st. But we chose not to participate during that time because we understood what that day was created for, and we didn't want to have any part of it. So it was tough, because we used to always dress up. Now we're telling our kids, you can't do that. But what we did was, we just told them, just skip school that day. I took the day off. And we all went to the ice palace or the water park or to the beach. And it was an awesome day because everything is totally empty. So October 31st didn't become Halloween day for them. It became, oh, we can stay home from school day. We stopped participating in Easter egg hunts because we didn't want them to associate Easter with egg hunting. So at our family get-togethers, the kids would always go out, we would hide eggs and have the kids go look for the eggs. But we told my family and my cousins, you guys have the Easter egg hunt. We'll come afterwards for dinner. My daughter is an avid reader. So in school, she joined the library book club. And they always had like a book to read. But the book that they were reading depicted sorcerers and witches as being great and good things. And we didn't think that that was okay for her to grow up thinking that sorcerers and witches were good. Glad my son didn't like reading, so he didn't have to go through that. Just joking. It was hard making these decisions. And I know they felt that we're keeping them from having fun. I would explain things to my parents, what we're learning, what scripture was saying. It was hard for them to understand too. As my maternal grandmother was getting older in age, Alzheimer's began to take a toll on her life. She could no longer take care of herself, so she would alternate staying with my aunt and my parents. We bring her to church, pray over her. She grew up a Buddhist. But one night, when she was staying at my parents' house, they heard noises out in the living room, so they woke up and saw my grandmother walking around. So they asked her, "What are you doing?" And her reply to them was, "I'm looking for Jesus." When she passed, they still had a Buddhist ceremony, and I'd ask my parents, "Why are you having a Buddhist ceremony? She was a Christian. Why aren't you having a Christian ceremony? She was searching for Jesus. The Bible says, if you seek, you will find. Why not a Christian ceremony? Because of tradition. I was asked to MC that ceremony, but part of that MCing was leading the congregation in a mantra or whatever they say in Buddhist ceremonies. And I had to tell my parents, I'll MC, but I cannot do this part. And it was a battle in my mind. The enemy telling me, you're not honoring your parents. You're not honoring them because you don't want to do that now. Just because God said, do not have any idols before him. It was hard. There's a tradition where during the ceremony, they call up families by groups and families by name, and they would all come down and they would put incense in front of the altar. I had to tell my dad and my mom, we will come up as a family, but we're just going to stand there and we're not going to offer incense. It was hard. But they did respect our decisions. And they did respect what we stand for. Because we had scripture to back up everything. I'm going to say this again in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need to let the Word of God change our thinking. And when we allow it, we will know the truth. See in your notes, it says John 14:6. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I place the emphasis on the word the. Because growing up, I was taught Jesus is a way. All religions are a way to get to heaven. That is far from the truth. Jesus is the way. See, the truth tells me I don't need to work or perform in order to be saved. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See, the truth tells me that I am made right with God through Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, the truth tells me I have God's power flowing through me. In Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, religious rules and traditions only place burdens upon people. Jesus came to abolish the idea of trying to please God through any religion. It's not in your notes, but in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly, or life to the full. Don't let tradition hold you back from experiencing life that God wants you to have to its fullest. In a little while, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be able to live that abundant life. but just one thing. This week, let the word transform your mind and break free from old patterns of religious thoughts, actions, and behaviors. Well, I hope you got something out of that today. Before we end, again, we want to give you the opportunity to receive salvation. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of any works, lest any man should boast." So in other words, you can't do anything to get to heaven. It is just having faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and making him Lord of your life. You know, the Bible says the truth, when you know the truth will make you free. And before I give you the opportunity, I just want to share how my dad let tradition and the traditions that he kept, how it kept him living in bondage. See, later on in his life, he was diagnosed with cancer, and periodically after I go surfing, I drop by, talk to him, pray over him. And then one day I asked, "Hey, Dad, what do you think will happen when your physical body gives way?" And his response to me was, I'll probably end up in hell." And I asked him, "Why do you think that?" And he gave all the reasons, all the traditions, all the things that he didn't do. That's why he thought he was going to hell. He said he stopped going to church. You know, he talked about, "I didn't do this. I didn't pray. You know, I didn't do that." All the things that religion says that you're supposed to do. So I was ministering to him over that time. I would tell him in Romans 10, it says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and all you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how you're saved. Not by anything that you did in the past, not by anything that you didn't do in the past, not by anything that you can do now. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. Hell wasn't designed for man. It was designed for Satan and his fallen angels. Heaven is where God wants you. But you're the one that chooses, and you're the one that makes the decision to accept it or reject it. So I told my dad, "You know, when you're ready, let me know, because I want to go through this prayer with you." And later on, the months went by. Then he ended up in the hospital. And just before he passed, I was panicking. I was asking my dad, "Hey, Dad, come on, come on. Did you make the decision? Did you make the decision?" And my brother and sister were by me like, "Oh, bro, take it easy. Take it easy. You know, just let him rest in peace." Like, "No, no, no. He has to say this. I got to know. I got to know." And then he passed away. And then my family was like, what's your problem, man? Why couldn't you just let him go in peace?" So I told them what I talked about with my dad. I told him that Dad said that he believes he's going to end up in hell, and I don't want him there. I want to see him when I get to heaven too. And then my brother turned to me and said, "Oh, Warren, you know what? The other day, Dad said, oh, Warren said that Jesus forgave me. I'm ready to go to heaven now." See, I don't know what he said. I don't know if he said that prayer. I don't know if he said it with his mouth. But he made it right with God. See, Pastor Jake always says this. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's doing business with God. It's your heart that saves you. It's your heart that says, yeah, God, I give it all to you. You can have my life. Thank you. I'll exchange it for what you did at the cross. So if that's one of you today, if you're ready to make that declaration and want to have a relationship with Jesus, or, you know, if you have fallen away and you want to restore that relationship, I just want to help guide you and have you repeat what I say. If it's okay with you, if everyone here, you could just stand and you can repeat with me. If you're viewing this and wherever you're at, if you want to make that declaration, you can just say it together with us here. All you have to do is say this: dear God, I believe that Jesus came and he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead so I can have a new life. I declare with my own mouth that I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I give you control of everything from this point forward. Thank you that I am now saved. I will follow in your ways. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Well, if you gave your life, you folks can have a seat right now. If you gave your life to Jesus today, could you just let us know somehow here at the Ark Christian Church? Because we want to rejoice with you, and we want to help you to take your first steps in this awesome new life. Thank you, Pastor Jake and Jolie, for allowing me to have this time to share my testimony and to share a part of God's word with everyone out there. You know, stay tuned for the date of our next in-person meeting at Alohilani Resort. When that date is confirmed, we will be letting you know as soon as possible. Remember to tune in next week, Sunday at 10 o'clock, Hawaii Standard Time, for another day of worship. And may the blessing of God run you over this week, and may he continue to fill you with the truth and the power. Have an awesome day, everyone.